Well, there he goes, Stevie Wonder, for Once in My Life. What a great song, and I owe the choice of that to our garden guru. Good morning, Ned.
Good morning, Margaret. I love the song. It's a get up and go
I know.
Love song. You know?
I know.
Embrace the day to come.
I know, and what a beautiful day to embrace. Mm. Right behind your head, Ned, I've opened the curtains in the studio and there's, well, you just said it's the first decent week of weather we've had.
Yeah, the first week this winter, I think.
Yep. Yeah, so look, you're with Margaret O'Connor on Community Matters. It's the time now is 9:09, and look, we've got 3 hours of fun in front of us, but the funnest bit is always the garden guru. Welcome, Ned. We're going to plunge straight into not just any old rose, but
David Austin roses.
David Austin.
So now, I've been putting this off for weeks.
You have. You have this anathema to sort of, you know, pretty stuff sometimes.
Well, it doesn't take so much research because I know most of it, but to collate it all into one little blog, it's quite difficult.
Mm. Well, we're not doing any old rose. We're doing David Austin's, and they are in a class of their own. And we're also going to do the top five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all very exciting.
So take it away, Ned.
Okay. In the 60s, 1960s, David Austin revolutionised the rose world by creating a new hybrid of roses, a total triumph.
Yeah. In the 60s, when you look back, wow.
Well, I was only just born in the 60s.
Well, yeah. Same, but maybe I wasn't even born, but anyway.
It's nearly, what's that? 40, 60 years ago. It's a long time ago. Yeah.
But it was revolutionary, wasn't it? There was it's so many amazing things happened. But roses, let's stick to the topic. I won't digress.
So David was able to hybridise two different plants. One was the form and rich fragrance from the old-fashioned roses.
Mm.
And he also went incorporated with the long flowering characteristics of modern hybrid teas and floribunders.
Right, but they didn't have that delicacy.
They were two separate things.
Yeah. and that rich sort of but short lived sort of smell, the perfume of the old roses.
That's right, and they generally would only flower in spring. But
that's right.
The really heavy scent.
Yeah.
And the majority pink.
Yeah.
Pink, 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 pink and pink.
Mm. Your favourite colour in flowers.
Yeah.
Perhaps not, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, sadly, he died in 2018.
Oh.
But at the ripe age of 92, so pretty good life.
Yeah.
But his legacy remains in our gardens to continue to admire, appreciate and enjoy forevermore.
That's right.
A fantastic
and they are exquisite, aren't they? So just for those who maybe don't know, just if you can just describe the distinguishing features of a David Austin rose. Because they're a hybrid, but they're now standard. I mean, not standard. What's the word? They're now settled into a separate, completely separate category of rose.
Well, he called them his English roses.
Mm.
And now in the nursery world or the rose world, they're probably the most popular flower. The flowers are more intricate. They're double cupped, like little rosettes all through them, and have a myriad of colours, but especially the scent is just to die for.
That's right. And they have beautiful poetic names, don't they, as
certainly.
Well?
Certainly. Yep, yep. Now, as we said before, about that 6 years ago they first started coming out, but all my selection, my top five, are all at least 30 years old.
Wow.
So they've gone through the test of time and survived.
Mm.
David Austin, the company, David Austin Company, is ruthless in taking out old roses.
Out of
their catalogue, out of their product range. Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, there are a couple I could talk about, which are my top ones. Fisherman's Friend, you don't see that anymore. And there are quite a few others.
Mm. That was a red rose, wasn't it?
Yeah. Red pink.
Mm.
Deep red.
But we can't talk about it because it's gone. It's been banished from the catalogue, is that right?
From David Austin's, yeah. You could possibly find it through a grower somewhere in Australia, but very, very difficult. Mm.
Every year there's one or two new releases, aren't there?
With David Austin's, yes, maybe three, maybe four.
Mm.
It takes about 8 years from the initial hybridisation to come to the market.
Right.
So, and they're very cutthroat again with releasing new ones. They've got to be very, very good.
Which would make me wonder why your faves are so old, relatively, 30 years old.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, with my top five, the most important thing is that they are renowned for they're renowned for their repeat flowering through all the seasons of spring, summer, and autumn.
Right. So they've got to be robust performers to reach your top five, Ned.
Robust and continual in their magic. Yep.
Right. Okay.
First one up there, these are in no particular order, but my first one is Heritage. And it was introduced in 1984. And its parentage is Iceberg with Wife of Bath.
Okay.
And a lot of people turn their noses up at Iceberg, far too common. But it's interesting. This came from this came from Iceberg. The height is 1.5 metres to 2.5 metres and width 1 metre by 1 metre 0.5. These were bred in England, the David Austin roses, and in Australia they can have a slightly different growth habit. So in the heat of summer they can end up long arching branches. So beware of that. So you've got to cut them back.
They wouldn't have the audacity to do in that much more temperate English climate, perhaps.
It just wouldn't happen. The growth wouldn't happen like that.
Yeah.
And the flowers, well, they have pink buds which open to cupped blooms of a shell pink delicacy in the most perfect of soft pinks. Oh. And the outer petals pass almost to white as the flowers mature. Absolutely superb.
And the fragrance?
Well, they're all going to have a great fragrance. They have a lovely bittersweet scent with a rich honey with overtones of carnations and fruit on a wonderful myrrh background.
Now,
I have no idea what myrrh is other than the three men brought myrrh to the birth of Christ.
I think it was an embalming sort of substance.
It could have been. Yeah. Anyway, there was it was frankincense,
gold,
myrrh, and gold. Correct. The three wise men brought. Oh. Anyway, I've been looking up, trying to find out what the scent of myrrh actually is. And one was it was a description of between stone and sand. I have no idea what that could be. Anyway, finally I found out that it has the smell of licorice or aniseed. And why so many David Austin roses have myrrh is that the roses were bred from old-fashioned roses, and the old-fashioned roses had the myrrh scent. So that's why it continues along the line in David Austin roses. Disease resistance. It's fantastic. It has long, clean stems, very few thorns, and no problem with black spot or fungi things.
That is a really big one, especially for up here, isn't it? Or for everywhere, actually, isn't it?
Yep. And for cut flowers, it's very good.
Well, that's interesting.
Which is quite important.
That's interesting because I've always been of the impression, but wrongly so, that David Austins don't cut that well.
That's correct. So a lot of them don't. They don't have very long vase life. But all of these, my five here, are good for cut flowers.
Right, okay.
And I have a dear friend in Moree, Kim, her name is, and in her back garden she's planted these heritage roses en masse. I think, from memory, it's about 5 deep and 9 wide. Is that 45 specimens in total? And the sight of them in flowering and the combined fragrances, you just think you're in heaven.
Isn't that interesting? So it's often said that you should plant en masse, but roses.
This was real mass. Yeah. And it's not another rose in the garden. And then she can cut them, Well, she does cut them and take them into the house, and there are vases, huge vases, festooning every room in the house. It's just magic.
Glorious.
Yeah. Mm. So in Design Matters, it's brave in execution and absolutely brilliant in realisation.
Mm.
Mm. Truly memorable.
Mm-hmm.
My second is Jude the Obscure.
All right.
And it was named after the title of a novel by Thomas Hardy.
Yep.
Which I remember studying at university.
Always very gloomy.
Mm.
Thomas Hardy.
This one was introduced in 1995, quite recent out of all of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And his parentage was a cross between Abraham Darby and Windrush.
Oh, Windrush.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you that my grandmother grew up in a village in England, and I think one of the major waterways there was the Windrush, the River Windrush, I think.
Could well be.
But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, its growth is about 1.6 to 2.5 metres in height,
mm-hmm.
and width 1.4 to 2 metres. Hopefully all this information will be on podcast, so you don't have
it
to write
be.
Absolutely
oh, no,
everything
no, no.
down.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm. Now, the flowers of Jude, they're apricot, the buds are apricot, and then they open to a large, fully double-cupped bloom. It is the palest of apricots with a cream centre and an almost white outer petals. The subtleness of its colouring is just a pure delight. It's unbelievable.
So we're talking about a really, here we go. I've just found a picture of it. It's this really soft apricot.
Exactly, mm. Yep. Yep. That's it, Mario. Its fragrance is a fruity scent, a strong one with, now listen to this one, a mix of lychee, magnolia, guava, and sweet white wine.
Mmm. Gorgeous.
The other day when I was writing this, I thought maybe I'll throw all these into a blender and see what it all smells like, all these ingredients, but I didn't get around to it. So it has one of the best fragrances you can get. Absolutely dynamite. You'll love it to bits.
Mm. What you're also saying, Ned, is that these all of these top five will actually cut well for inside
yes.
the house.
Yes, relatively well, yeah.
And really... to have those roses in the garden and then to bring that scent inside is
yep.
something pretty special. Yep.
Yep, yep. So I've just got to scroll down a little bit here. There's a lot of information.
Mm.
The foliage is semi-glossy dark green and, again, very disease-resistant and wonderful as a cut flower. Now, I have them in my own garden. I have a mixed hedge, maybe 15 roses at the back, and it is a medley or a planting, mixed planting of Pat Austin and Jude the Obscure.
Right.
Pat Austin is a more coppery orange, but we'll talk about her a little bit later.
Uh-huh. So she's both a person and a rose. Yeah. And look, we're looking at the picture of Jude the Obscure. A lot of our listeners, of course, will know Jude the Obscure really well, but there's a very rounded, very cuppy sort of globular.
Yep. But it's a large flower.
Yeah, and there are, if you look at, Google this, you'll see that they do sit up beautifully in a vase.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. Absolutely gorgeous, yeah. Mm.
The next one is Abraham Darby, and it was named after one of the great founders of the Industrial Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And it was introduced in 1985.
Right.
Its parentage is a floribundo yellow cushion with the modern climber called Aloha.
Oh, now Aloha is famous, to me anyway, for being a rose that will survive in the shade.
Could well.
Mm.
I've never grown it, sorry.
Right.
There
are
just too many to pick from.
Anyway, it's the hybrid tea parent. Aloha.
No, modern climber.
Oh, sorry, it's a climber.
It's Aloha. Mm. Now, its growth is in height 1.25 metres to 1.75 metres and width 1.25 to 1.75 metres. Again, this flower is very large, large cup flowers, and it has a bit of a chameleon effect. It's hard for me to tell. It's of a coppery orange and also a mid-pink combined. Then the outer petals turn more towards a blend of sop pink and apricot, and finally fading to a coral pink as it matures. I remember about 4 months ago when a rose were in height of bloom and I was out there looking at Abraham trying to work out what bloody colours are you. Anyway, it was a fascinating flower.
Because he's so varied in the... Yes.
In different colours and how that changes over the days. Now, the fragrance has is very, very strong with fruity tones. And it's stunning, truly exquisite.
Mm.
The foliage is plentiful and shiny, and the olive green leaves are rated above average for disease resistance, so that's good.
And this is a rose that, in different lights, can appear quite different in colour. It's got it's got a glorious kind of inner glow, hasn't it? Inner yellowy glow that kind of sets off. And it's pretty hard to tell whether it's pink or apricot, but it's both really, isn't it?
Yep.
But it was identified as apricot colour.
Perfect for cutting, even though the blooms are so large. And I have about 5 specimens in my own garden. But I wish I had enough to make a good long hedge of it. It's a memorable rose.
Right.
Unforgettable. Now, probably one of my best favourites is Gertrude Jekyll. I'm never quite sure how to pronounce her name.
I think most people call her Jekyll as in Jekyll and Hyde, don't they? But
there could be, Anyway, Gertrude Jekyll was a famous groundbreaking garden designer and author who died in 1932, so quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was introduced in 1986. And her parentage is Wife of Bath, crossed with a Portland rose. Now, I'm not terrible at my French, Comte de Chambord.
Ah, right.
So a Portland rose is one of the old-fashioned roses.
Mm.
Now, its height can be a little bit bigger, 2.25 metres by 2.75, and then width, 2.25 to 2.75 metres.
Mm.
Now, this is one of the first roses I ever planted of David Austin's.
Ah.
And it began my great love affair, which has continued to today.
Right.
I think I first planted in my house in Sydney.
And you've never been turned off Gertrude Jekyll? No.
Anyway, her flowers begin as small, dainty buds, then open to large, perfectly scrolled-shaped flowers of a bright and most glorious, richest of hot pinks.
It is. It's just amazing. It's pinky pink.
Pink, and I'm not one who likes pink, but this is a great pink.
But if you want pink, this is pink. It's the kind of pink that's got a sort of undertones, I guess, of mauve or purpley, so it would sit beautifully with, you know, sort of other shrubs and things that have that purple tone.
Exactly. Now, its fragrance is a pure powerhouse of perfume, and right up with the best of them. And in my mind, or with my nose, it's probably none better.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's the top. In recent experiments, they've carried out the extraction of the essential oils to making perfume.
Yep.
And this rose was found to be the best and most superior to any other rose.
That's amazing. Mm. That is so amazing because, I mean, I've seen gardening shows about extracting rose essences, and it's not this one, but it's obviously a simple rose.
This is the one they go to.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So its scent is totally intoxicating, and for me it just sort of, what does it do? It carries you away to utter bliss.
Mm.
Now, Esther's disease resistant is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cut flower, absolutely excellent.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, I have about 7 of these in my garden. And I always place them next to paths, doors, windows which can be opened. So that beautiful scent just carry throughs everywhere.
That's right. And so if you need, if you're thinking of planting your perfumed garden, you can't not have one of your top 5, but the Gertrude Jekyll is the queen of.
She is the queen.
Yeah.
Mm. Now the 5th one, and I must admit this one has little to no scent, but the flowers are superb. Mm. I had to include it. Now, it was named after, Pat Austin was named after David Austin's wife.
Ah.
So it must be great. It must be fantastic.
Oh.
It was introduced in 1995 and it's a cross between Graham Thomas and Abraham Darby, both David Austin roses.
Ah, so that's interesting. So this is a blend of two existing David Austins.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's strange because Graham Thomas and Abraham Darby have beautiful perfumes, stunning.
Oh.
But it didn't come through with Indopat.
Interesting, interesting.
The height's a little bit smaller, 1.2 metres by 2 metres, and width 1 metre by 1.25 metres.
Mm.
But why I have included Pat Austin is because once you see this flower, there's no going back. You'll be totally addicted. The blooms are deeply cupped and seem to possess every shade of orange imaginable. For example, coppery orange through to apricot, peach and tangerine. And then the back of the petals are of a rich yellow. And then as the flower matures further, it becomes salmon with lovely tints of a soft pink.
Mm.
It's fantastic in its subtle colouring. Just superb.
Yes.
Everyone must have at least one.
Very elegant. And look, the flowering is dense too, isn't it?
Mm. A lot of petals in the cup.
But a lot of flowers on the bush as well.
Mm. Mm. Now, it is said that Pat Austin has a good tea fragrance, but sadly for me, absolutely nothing.
Isn't
a total zilch.
Mm. Mm.
But I have to recommend it because the blooms are just totally magnificent and nullifies the issue of no scent.
Well, from what I can see, pictorially, Pat Austin is just a really strong hue as well, isn't she? In that sort of, I don't want to venture an expert.
There are the bigger roses, but yes, it's good. And why I love it, it just does not shut up flowering, and the whole bush will be covered in perpetual blooms through the growing seasons.
Mm. Mm. And now this vibrant orange, really. Apricot, vibrant.
Well, through the petals, you'll see a multitude of orange shades.
Yes.
You know, tangerine, peach.
Yeah.
It's quite fascinating.
Mm.
I mean, you could look at it for an hour and still try to work out
what
actual flowers
is.
You are, and then what it becomes when it matures further.
Mm.
And what makes it even a better rose just has this beautiful, the new foliage is this rich coppery plum purple.
Ah, yeah.
And that creates a stunning compliment
right.
to the orange of the flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pat is highly disease resistant, and cut flowers, it's good.
Mm.
Now, one of the best places I've ever seen a planting of Pat Austin was at the Bird Walkers Garden at Black Mountain.
Oh, yes.
It's been sold now, so I'm not sure what's happening with it. But in the centre of a landscaped area was a large circular garden bed.
Mm.
And it was home to about a dozen Pat Austin roses.
Mm. Mm.
And then what made it even greater, underplanted with the blue flowering and grey foliage of catmint, which billowed around their feet.
Mm.
And it was just a perfect complement again to the purple foliage. Absolutely stunning.
Amazing. Yeah. And so that's just an absolute colour sensation,
yes,
isn't it? Pat Austin.
Yeah. I'd probably buy one or two Pats every year, and I don't know where I'm going to put them, but always find somewhere to put them.
Well, they would just add a pop of amazing colour anywhere. And as you say, it's just such a sublime sort of mystery of colour, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The literature basically talks about a tea rose, which scent. So there isn't. It's not that it's without scent. It's just it doesn't have this big punch of scent.
Like the other one. That's correct. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, I have a bit of a problem. The last couple of years, I'm losing my sense of smell, and so I really got to get my nose right in there and roll it and rattle it in a bud or into a flower to try to get some scent. Yeah, and they say losing a scent is the precursor to the early onset of dementia.
Oh,
so I hope that's not going to happen.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So they're my top five.
Top five, that's amazing. I'm going to reprise them just quickly because, as Ned rudely indicated, I'm taking notes. And they are Heritage, Jude the Obscure, Abraham Darby, Gertrude Jekyll, and Pat Austin.
That's correct. Now, I could have done another 10 included here, but I thought, well, it's not enough time.
No.
Yeah. So, and then I'm asking other fellow gardeners at the moment, what are their top five and what are their top 10? So on my website, you'll find those contributions.
Right. Yeah. Fantastic. And so look, if people are thinking of ordering these roses and it's time to get online and order them now, it's probably a bit late, is it? Is it? A bit late. But you may find them in nurseries.
At my nursery, the roses are starting to come in each week for about a month now. We haven't had any David Austin's yet. But you could go to the other great nurseries in Armidale and they should have a good selection of them.
Yeah. And, of course, all the David Austin's are really carefully bred. Is there any other ones that you just like to sort of reprise as a little on... what is it? You know, a little additional.
More David Austin's? Yeah. There's Claire Austin, which is the white. Old Wallerton Hall, which is another really soft apricot with beautiful scent. And Claire had a beautiful scent as well. Radio Times. I'm not sure if it's available anymore because it's such a terrible name and people didn't buy it.
It's funny, I actually gave Radio Times rose to a friend, mutual friend, we both know them, but I won't out them on the radio because as in memoriam of his mum, who used to listen to the radio all the time.
And probably another one would be Charles Darwin.
Right.
Which is a pale yellow. I mean, we all know who Charles Darwin is. And it's quite strange because at the garden at Black Mountain of the Bird Walkers, Charles Darwin now and then would produce a flower which was completely split down the middle, one half white and one half yellow.
Amazing.
And so no wonder it was called Charles Darwin.
It was showing its heritage or its genetic, you know, family. Fabulous. And so, look, if people are getting ready for the delivery or to go and buy some roses, I mean, because you can try to go to some of the big companies online and order the bare-rooted roses, I think they'd still be open, but what the selection that's available...
I think you'll find out sold out.
At this point.
I prefer to buy a rose in person so then I can see the health of the plant. For example, I recommend never to buy a rose which has a stem thinner than your finger.
Ah, interesting.
It'll take too long to establish. It might take another 2 to 3 years.
And it may perish in that time if there's any defect in your husbandry.
That's correct. So here in Armidale we've got 3 to 4 great nurseries. You should just shop around, you'll find them. Fantastic. And you can never have enough David Austin's.
That's right.
Ever.
That's
couldn't live without him.
No. Oh, thank you so much, Ned. And I just wanted you to let people just to quickly round up how to prepare for planting, you know, a little bit of soil management in your planting hole.
Yep. Well, Again, you get yourself a lovely big plastic bucket with handles.
Yeah.
Throw in a third to a half a bag of very good quality compost, not the cheap crap. Two to three handfuls of sea mungers, the pelletized seaweed and fish to create better root growth and health of the plant.
Yep.
Not so much any fertilizer because it can burn new roots. Anyway, those things combine a big bucket, throw it in. Oh, sorry, mix some of the existing soil that you've dug out. So that will have the already existing fungi and bacteria and protozoa you need for a healthy soil.
That's right.
And that's about it. Bang. Pretty easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, roses are actually pretty robust once you get them going, and but they need a lot of water in establishment.
That's correct, like any plant.
Yeah. Don't drown your roses, though.
And so coming up, we'll have more top fives, I hope.
Oh, good.
Top five floribunders. Top five hybrid teas. And top five climbing roses.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And maybe one more on just the smell and scent and perfumes of plants, of roses especially.
Yeah, because
try to understand what it's all about.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming in, Ned. And we're going to play another one of your favourites now, I think. Yep.
Bingo. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
It was great.
Thank you.